We've heard a lot about AI and just kind of even just looping it back to what we just talked about in terms of improving discoverability, right? AI would be a great tool for not just improving the metadata around content, but in turn with improving that metadata and using something like a large language model powered voice assistant, you can get to the content that you want to find much more easily.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Exceto Playback Podcast, the podcast discussing industry news, trends, and tech advancements in the OTT and streaming industry. I'm your host, Neil Van Zyl. Today, we're going to have a special recap episode discussing what the Exceto team saw at CES and any trends they might have noticed. So joining me today is a great group of guys, and I'll go ahead and let them introduce themselves now. Tesh, do you want to start us off?
Sure. Hey everyone, I'm Tesh Modi. I'm a solutions engineering manager at Exceto. I've been with the organization for about coming up on 12 years now. And before my current role, I was actually a developer on game console platforms. So definitely spent a lot of time here and I'm loving it.
Ash?
Hi, Ashley Desatnik. I'm one of the sales directors working on Magesha's commercial team, focused on media entertainment companies and pay TV operators in North America. Also been with Exceto a little over 9 years, so it's been a great ride.
And Ragesh.
Hey everyone, it's Ragesh Desai. I'm VP of North America for Exceto. Been with the organization just over a decade. I live in Seattle, very rainy Seattle at the moment, but was previously based in Toronto and been attending CS for many years and always very excited at technology evolution you continue to see. And it was a pleasure attending the show with all of you.
So for most of the show, we were usually pretty bunkered down in meetings, but we did get a chance to go check out the floor and it was pretty awesome to see some of the stuff there. And a few of us had some travel issues, as is kind of normal now, but we've all made it back and luckily everyone's good to go. So we'll just start it off nice and easy. How was the show for you? Tesh, you want to start it off?
Yeah, it was, as you said, it was definitely busy, but glad we got some time on the show floor. You know, as a big tech nerd, if you will, I've always kind of looked at CS through my high school years and through university and kind of just thought about if I would ever get the chance to go there. So getting a chance on the show floor, definitely very, very exciting for me to see all the latest gadgetry and tech. And yeah. Definitely the highlight of my trip there.
Ragesh, what about yourself? How was the show?
Show was fantastic. Very productive. I think within the confines of our own industry, you know, the media and entertainment technology ecosystem partners were all in attendance. We had some great meetings with several of the OEM providers, both with, you know, traditional devices and smart TVs, but also XR. Although I didn't get to spend time at the trade show, I was, of course, living vicariously through some of you who did actually get onto the floor. And also, there were a few really interesting things that popped out to me. In particular, Kevin Michalak, who some of you may remember as Crackberry Kevin, he came out with a CS technology, which is essentially a quirky keyboard that turns your iPhone into a BlackBerry. So for those of you listening who once upon a time owned a BlackBerry, or if you're like Ashley and I, who used to work at BlackBerry, that was quite the throwback. So excited to see some of that technology develop.
Shifting over to just general themes we might have seen. Ash, was there any trends that you noticed during the meetings or when you were walking around the floor?
Didn't get to spend a lot of time on the floor, Neil. You know, unfortunately, I only got out there late on Thursday afternoon. Obviously, it was very cool to see the transparent LG TV and would love to have one of those in my living room, but it's not going to happen for a while. Outside of that, you know, there were definitely a number of different trends. You know, we're seeing that streaming is just a flush with a whole bunch of content, but still, I think the most important aspect is that discovery still remains a significant challenge for users. And a case in point is where you've got the entire explosion of fast channels and services. It's great that there's such a proliferation of content. The problem is, though, it just creates the biggest challenge for a user in terms of actually finding the content that they're looking for in an easily accessible way. So that definitely is what I would see is going to be a good advantage for people focusing on trying to come up with solid solutions for the FAST 2.0 problem in terms of personalizing FAST channels and increasing the ability for users to discover content quickly. Obviously, AI, you can't talk about CS 2024 without talking about AI. And obviously, you're seeing that it's being put to good use in terms of revolutionizing, you know, production, post-production, some elements of content discovery. But we know that there's going to be a significant increase in the use of the technology and how it's going to be applied, and most likely how it's going to affect the ability for users to engage with content and also to reach much wider audiences. So short and sweet.
I don't know if you saw it, but Samsung was promoting that Samsung TV Plus is officially over 2,500 channels. 2,500 is definitely a little bit tough to navigate at times, I'm sure. So hopefully AI-powered recommendations will be able to improve the EPG experience a little bit there.
I was going to say, are you going to put Tesh on the spot to name all those channels?
I'll let him think about it for a little bit, and we'll pop. I'll give him a tricky one a little bit later.
Nice.
But Neil, on that point of FAST, I think one of the trends we'll probably see this year happening is that probably going to be a fair amount of rationalization of those FAST channels. There's probably going to be, you know, trimming a fair amount of the bottom of the pile in terms of, you know, getting rid of a fair amount of content providers that just aren't performing, and probably then, you know, see them actually rationalizing their content offering and trying to ensure that they have good quality content for users.
I definitely agree with Ashley. And I think to kind of enhance that point, you know, on top of the rationalizing the content, there probably also needs to be more and more personalized experiences around FAST. In fact, I think one of the, you know, most interesting, you know, feedback we got at CES in terms of demos we showcased was around our FAST 2.0 concept. That was a concept we put together with some of our partners like Amagi and Think Analytics. But it's to really reimagine what the modern day, I mean, I say modern day, FAST is a modern experience, but the latest iteration of FAST should look like, which is a lot more personalized, the ability to actually spin up virtual channels that, you know, speak to your previous content consumption, right? So, you know, imagine a Neil TV channel or Neil Sports TV channel that's super tailored to content consumption generally or in specific verticals like sports or entertainment or news. So I think that's an area that FAST industry needs to evolve towards. And in addition to that, I think, you know, just in terms of user experience for the EPG itself, you know, an EPG that, you know, resorts itself in a very autonomous way, leveraging consumer behavior is definitely something we should see more of.
Neil TV would probably be a lot of looping NFL highlights after this week. Probably a little bit of Jordan Love and CJ Stroud just killing it.
Love it.
Tesh, I got a question for you here. Obviously, you did get a chance to walk around a little bit, and you were definitely more in the meetings, but what was one thing at CES that OTT providers should incorporate into their strategy short-term or long-term? You know, what is something you notice that you think needs to be adapted more?
Yeah, that's a great question. So from a long-term point of view, I'll start with that. We've heard a lot about AI and just kind of even just looping it back to what we just talked about in terms of improving discoverability, right? AI would be a great tool for not just improving the metadata around content, but in turn with improving that metadata and using something like a large language model powered voice assistant, you can get to the content that you want to find much more easily, right? With that contextual awareness that an AI would provide, that you know, kind of the normal, I'm not going to call them dumb, but you know, less advanced assistants would be able to provide in the here and now. Exceedo ourselves, we've in the past kind of looked into voice assisted search, right? And the improved metadata that AI could help with providing, as well as the improved contextual awareness that AI could provide to a user, could make that search experience, that discovery experience, a lot simpler, right? Where you could kind of talk about a particular actor in a particular era, and those kinds of details would be available and easily searchable by your voice. So I think that's something mid to long term that I would like to see, both as a user of these services as well as someone who works in the technology of them. I think it solves a lot of problems, especially as these libraries continue to grow and grow and grow, and Fast becomes more of a staple in the entertainment of the general public. As far as short term, I do think there are interesting ways that AI can be used for pre-production mostly. And I'm not just thinking of this from the point of view of OTT media, but media in general. I think when it comes to conceptualizing AI generation, generative AI can provide a lot of quick iteration. And we even saw an example of this on the show floor with Sony actually had a huge, huge booth just around being able to rapidly prototype filming. So it's not, again, prototyping in the sense that we're thinking about here, but there is this giant push around rapid prototyping just to improve the kind of proof of concept of different ideas and different concepts. And that's something that I think more companies should start looking into, because I think there's a lot of hesitation to jump into these new technologies and really dive in and make use of them. So the more that the industry makes it possible to kind of dip your toe in and rapidly prototype on different ideas and concepts using different technologies, I think that's going to be something that companies should start looking into in the short term. And that applies to really any major trend that we're looking at. So even things like XR, which is another big thing at CES, I think the first step is to start looking at, you know, how can we rapidly prototype with XR and find those solutions and start playing with them.
I love that Tosh brought up voice and AI. You know, one of the challenges the industry faces is, you know, the sort of device fragmentation you see in the living room setting. And so, unfortunately, you know, there isn't one device family that just rules them all in the living room. You know, folks have, you know, perhaps a LG smart TV, you know, a Roku connected device. They might be using an iPhone. They might be using an Alexa. This is a very common, you know, type of scenario for many families around the world. And for voice to really work in a great way in the living room setting, there needs to be sort of a very ubiquitous voice platform. And I think that's a part of the industry that needs to be disrupted. In fact, you know, a few years ago, we had actually created a middleware to try to address this, right? So having a voice-assisted platform talk to a smart TV that's outside of the device family and help it, you know, use voice-assisted sort of tasks to create on the fly user experiences that would be very engaging. So for example, you know, you could state, hey, I would like to see, you know, Ronaldo versus Messi stats real time while I'm watching the live broadcast. And, you know, suddenly it would actually render that statistical experience on the screen. And it could be from a voice platform that was completely distinct to, you know, whatever the smart TV app that you're leveraging. So I think that's a part of the industry that certainly needs to be disrupted. And speaking about, you know, device fragmentation, CES for our industry continues to surprise, right? You know, we've seen platforms like VIDAA, for example, seemingly coming out of nowhere and being a major smart TV player. And that's in addition to, you know, all the established players like an LG, a Vizio, a Samsung, the connected TV platforms, the gaming consoles. And as Tesh, you know, very eloquently pointed out, the XR devices now, right? So suddenly there's both this real world and virtual world media consumption experience. And for a user, they're really not going to care about, you know, what devices they're leveraging. What they'll really hope for is a very seamless transition as they go device to device and can experience, you know, both video and ancillary content in a great way.
It's interesting you talk about just kind of having devices work across device fragmentation of platforms. One thing you saw in LG and Samsung's booth was this push again for their universe of devices to kind of stay within the Samsung or within the LG universe. Obviously, there's still a little bit of work to do to make everything work together, but I'm sure everyone is always going to try and keep you within their space. So who knows how long that would take. And back on the voice, it is interesting that you bring up how AI can definitely help there. Obviously, accessibility is a big focus for myself, and I'm always interested in seeing how we can push that forward. AI is obviously going to help when it comes to understanding accents, understanding different speech disabilities, because there's still a long way to go with voice assistants in general. But there's hopefully some progress going to be happening over the next little bit. And I don't know if you all saw, I believe it's called the Humane Pin. I don't know if it was announced at CES. It was a little bit before then. But this is essentially just an entirely voice-assisted AI assistant that can replace the phone or even perhaps extend the phone eventually. But there's a lot of interesting tech when it comes to voice. Ash, a little bit off from that main focus of where things are going, what did you see from OTT providers where they were doubling down? Like, what do you see has already been an important aspect for the content providers, and where are they going to continue investing?
So I think there's a great opportunity with a lot of content providers to actually spin up niche content services to actually increase the pie and to actually appeal to a wider audience. So, you know, there's a large spectrum. You can go niche audiences, or you can use, you know, blockbuster content in order to drive, you know, your monetization models. But I just see that there's now, you know, changing user behavior, and content providers are now coming to the forefront and realizing that there's potentially a lot of underserved users out there with their niche content. And I think that's an opportunity, you know, on a global basis, for content providers to really monetize a lot better with a much wider and diverse audience. So that's one of the aspects. In terms of other things doubling down, cost. I guess, you know, in terms of that's obviously front and center of everybody's mind, in terms of how do you drive down your cost of production, cost of delivery, cost of, you know, maintaining a service, etc. So I think there definitely is lots of opportunity, and I'm sure Xedo can help participate in some of those areas for them, but certainly know that cost efficiency is definitely a key element for a lot of the services, content providers, customers, prospects that we're working with and plan to work with in the future.
And I think, yeah, the cost element goes hand in hand with you know, hybrid monetization. I think we're seeing more of it, right? What used to be, you know, single tier subscriptions are now turning into multi-tier subscriptions with an ad supported tier. And, you know, with the smarts that are available through OTT systems, even hybrid monetization doesn't need to be rigid, right? So you can sort of have several packages that are iterated on frequently as you sort of understand user cohorts, and you can differentiate between those packages region to region. You know, you're seeing the likes of Amazon now with their Prime Video service and entering the ad tier market. So I think we should expect more and more of that. Everyone needs to look at the best way to monetize the right type of user.
Actually, Neil, one other item I actually meant to mention. There was an article just recently about Netflix striking a relationship with, don't bash me for my pronunciation, of Carrefour. I think it's in France. I think it's a grocery chain. So and Walmart and Amazon have done similarly in the US. So I think looking at a lot of media services starting to bundle their services with retail is probably another significant trend. And I think, you know, the pay TV operators know how to bundle services extremely well. So I certainly think lots of scope and lots of potential and opportunity when it comes to bundling in terms of providing great value for users across different services.
It's a great point mentioning bundling. I was going to bring it up after we spoke about the different hybrid tiers. It's not just VOD or content providers and retail. It's content providers and other content providers. We're seeing potential discussions between Apple TV and Paramount, and who knows about this merger between Paramount and Warner Brothers, but there's definitely going to be a lot more bundling of services going forward. It'll be interesting to see how that goes with pricing or different income structures that they want to work on, but there's going to be much more of a bigger focus on that. As you kept bringing it back to cost, it's all going to be trying to keep users in your ecosystem with preventing churn, and bundling is one of the best methods to do so.
Yeah, I was just going to say the consolidation of content, right? I mean, you point out sort of the rumors around Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery. You know, just because content might be consolidated under one, you know, significant conglomerate doesn't mean that it won't breed new services. Because when you have such an expansive library of content across multiple verticals, you know, just having this super aggregator app experience where everything available is on there, I mean, that becomes quite a tough proposition from a a user discovery perspective, right? So in fact, I think some of the consolidation could then lead to those companies actually saying, hey, yours is like the specific service around regional sports, around global sports, around local news, around, you know, entertainment services. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, just to chime in there, one last trend that I picked up, I wouldn't even really call it a trend, just there's a lot of interest in shoppable experiences from what I saw. So there's a lot of, and this kind of ties into the retailers and the video services kind of coming together. But the other way that they're kind of coming together is, you know, how do we further monetize without just additional subscriptions, right? What if we're watching a piece of content and there's a piece of clothing or there's a truck in the background or there's something, some product placement that can be brought to the front fairly easily for a user to then kind of act on it and make a purchase on it, right? So there's been a lot of discussion around that, a lot of ideation. And I think that's something that's soon to come and you know, going to be a pretty exciting place to kind of play around and see what works and what doesn't.
Great point, blending e-commerce and OTT. Rigesh, you mentioned sports just a little bit at the end there. Do you want to talk a bit more about what you saw from sports verticals or content providers' focuses on sports going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think without being able to name specific brands due to NDA, I think there is sort of an emergence of new sports services that folks should pay a lot of attention to. In particular, we came across this athlete-focused sports service that's just launched an iOS app recently. But, you know, I think there will be this ongoing solutioning for how to get, you know, more appeal for the Gen Z users and sports, especially sports that have, you know, been in the consumer psyche for many years, right? So if you think of sports like football or baseball or cricket, you know, the sport itself, those sports themselves are going through evolution. Rules are changing. In the case of cricket, for example, the types of cricket formats have actually shortened to appeal to more consumers. But I think the actual digital services will complement these trends in how the games are being played. Because in order to appeal to a Gen Z, you know, it might be, you know, having the athlete really sort of speak to the sport rather than the team or the league or, you know, a multi-sport service. So I think that's definitely one space to follow. And I think in the U.S. context, it would be very interesting to sort of see how, you know, regional sports play out. But the user experience for a sports user today is you know, it's difficult, I would say, right? I mean, if you're someone who enjoys several types of sports and your regional team, sort of getting access to that content from, you know, one single service or even just knowing where to get access to that content is problematic. There's no easy solution to this because a lot of it involves, you know, rights and rethinking that. But I think it's, you know, both a content problem that needs to be solved long term. But from a user experience perspective, I think there's a lot of innovation that can come through, whether it's through these athlete-focused sports services or new, you know, regional sports services that, you know, go beyond just the consumption of content, but also into the fan experience game. Tesh talked a little bit earlier about, you know, XR. For us, XR and sports are this amazing marriage. For someone at home to get that ad venue experience, suddenly, you know, devices like Oculus or, you know, the Vision Pro, which will be launched in a month, will start to enable really, really immersive experiences where the basketball stadium or the cricket stadium can be brought into your living room. So I think it's a super exciting time for sports, but with a lot of user experience challenges to overcome.
Awesome. All right. I just have, I think, one more fun question for everyone, and then we can start wrapping it up there. Ash, do you have any bold predictions for the year going forward? And take your time on this one. That's all right. I'm asking everyone, so you guys got to think of something.
Bold predictions. Yeah, I think this year is probably going to be a huge breakout for video shopping. I know Tesh was, you know, spoke about that briefly before, but I really think that's probably on the cusp, the tipping point of interactive ads and tying tying the content a user is watching to contextual goods that they would be interested in, and making that and marrying that experience so that they don't necessarily have to leave one experience in order to act on another experience. And I think, you know, the commercial or the monetization opportunities with shoppable ads or video e-commerce is pretty significant. And I think there's probably some technical or technological challenges that would need to be solved. But I think that's it's probably something that people have been waiting for. And maybe sometimes people don't know what they don't know. And or maybe once you give them something, then they say, aha, why didn't I think of that before? So, you know, it's kind of like when somebody said to, Henry Ford. And somebody basically said, you know, if somebody had a horse and carriage, you know, what would the next generation of the horse and carriage would be? They said, well, I want a faster horse. But he was smart enough to actually come up with a Model T Ford. And when you put that in front of users, you know, all of a sudden the light bulbs go on and everybody says, it's so obvious. So I think there's a lot of ideation, a lot of thought that has to go into it. And obviously the whole user experience needs to be thought out really well. It's probably a lot of relationships and partnerships and commercial arrangements that have to be created. But I think marrying the content and physical goods together, I think this is 2024 is the year it's really going to tip. So my big prediction.
Love it. Tesh, you're looking deep in thought. Do you have anything?
I don't know how bold this is, but I just do think there's going to be continued consolidation within the industry, be that from a technology point of view, technology providers, or from the actual video services. I don't think it's a secret that there's been a lot of consolidation in the past between technology partners, and there's also a lot of discussion, as you brought up earlier, between the media companies potentially merging. So I do think 2024 is a year where that's going to continue. And as surprising as it is when it's announced to me, at least, if you give it a couple of seconds after that initial shock, you start thinking about it, and it makes a lot of sense that it's happening, especially in terms of being able to bring together user bases that kind of fit the monetization models that we have currently dominating the market. And then also from a technology point of view, just being able to facilitate more of the end-to-end chain when we are working with the media companies to kind of build their back-end solution and empower the actual streaming service. So maybe not super bold, but I think continued consolidation will be a trend in 2024.
Thanks, Tesh. Mergs?
I think three areas that I would make a bold or semi-bold prediction in. One is, I think from a generative AI perspective, we could start seeing true content production purely based off of generative AI. And that'll be very interesting to see how that takes off and whether consumers can even discern what is, quote unquote, original content production versus generative AI content production. The second area on XR, right? I mean, Apple Vision Pro is launching next month. Quite the hefty price point. But if you hark back to the days when the iPhone launched, that sort of critical juncture when, the price point of the iPhone started coming down and the app ecosystem started burgeoning, especially with media and entertainment applications, I think that's when you could potentially see hockey curve type growth for the industry. And I feel like Apple wouldn't have made such a bet on XR unless they, felt very strongly about it. I don't think this is an experimentation of any type. And then the final thing, and something I think very close to us at Accedo is sustainability in the video ecosystem. So if you think about the video supply chain today, sustainability is going to play a very critical part in areas such as CDN and cloud in particular. And I think most of the major media conglomerates are really going to have this focus on sustainability, or are going to need that encouragement from technology partners like Accedo, who want to be at the forefront of it. So those are my three hot takes for 2024.
I don't know if you saw, but I think Apple is starting with less than 80,000 units of the Apple Vision Pro, so they're keeping it almost very exclusive. But they're going to do education or demos for anyone who wants to come into one of the Apple stores. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I'm a little jealous you got to my sustainability prediction before I did. I was going to talk about how even though AI is so big right now, the amount of energy it takes to produce even just a single image is going to start lead to, I think, maybe a bit of a rethink on sustainability and how we can actually maybe use AI a bit more sustainably and at a reduced level. So I'll be interested to see how that comes into focus this year.
The one comment I have regarding generative AI is, you know, the model has to be trained based on some data set. So it certainly brings up the issue of, copyright, or I guess IP, copyright, trademarks, et cetera, of the content. And I think that's going to be quite a significant challenge to enforce, track down before Gen AI just explodes and it becomes too difficult a problem to rein in. So I'm sure there's smart people who are thinking about it and figuring out maybe how to even monetize it. Basically, maybe the blockchain is one of the ways to actually take advantage of new technology and monetize, you know, in along the way.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a tricky problem that I'm grateful is not a part of one of my problems to solve. Let's just put it that way. Anything else to add from anyone before we wrap it up here?
Lastly, I've got to just slip one thing in. I'm going like a Boeing 787.
Let's go.
I think that's the mic drop moment. No podcast with Ashley would be complete without one of these legendary quotes. So yeah. good time to end this.
Anyway, it's great. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Mergs. Thanks, Tish. Great thoughts and great discussion.
Thanks, everybody.
Cheers, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Great talking to you. Okay, that's it for the podcast. Thank you so much again to Tesh, Ash, and Murgesh for hopping on. It was great to be at CES with them. I had a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll be back again at NAB in April. If you want to see a little bit more about what Exceto saw on the floor with regards to CTV OEMs, feel free to check out our latest blog post. I'll have it linked in the description below. As always, if you have any questions or would like to reach out to us with some suggestions or topics, email us at playback.podcast@exceto.tv. or reach out to us on LinkedIn. Thank you and have a great day.